Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Today in Sioux Falls, the 2020 nationwide homeless count takes place. It's also known as the We All Count Homeless Census. Dr. Suzanne Smith is Augustana University's Vice President for Data Analytics and Augustana Research Institute, and she's involved in the project. She's joining us today from the SDPB Sioux Falls studios as we broadcast from the SDPB Black Hills studios. Suzanne Smith, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about what the details of what happens today, and then we'll get into the broader question of why it matters. What happens today?
Sure. So the mechanics of today, at least in Sioux Falls, we really got started about 3 a.m. this morning. There were groups of volunteers out in the community at some of the day labor agencies surveying folks, making sure they get counted. So anyone who is experiencing homelessness on this single day and night in January, we want to be sure that we count them. So they started at 3 a.m. After that, we had volunteers over at the banquet for breakfast to meet anyone who might be homeless and having breakfast at the banquet. Then throughout the day, volunteers will be at the shelters. We have volunteers at Bishop Dudley Hospitality House over at the Union Gospel Mission. We will be back at the banquet for dinner tonight and check in at the shelters. And throughout the community, we have volunteers in parking lots looking for people who might be staying in their cars. We will have a few volunteers out on a police ride-along tonight to meet with anyone who is unsheltered or maybe staying in a camp and sleeping outside tonight to make sure they're counted as well. So, you know, we really try to cover as much ground as we can and get volunteers out to where the people are.
Give me an idea of what kind of conversations, how these conversations unfold. What sort of data do you need to get an accurate count?
Sure. At one level, we need some very basic demographic information. So we need to know someone's age or their age range. We need to know their gender. We also ask about their race and ethnicity. But then there are some more targeted questions that help measure subpopulations and populations that are served by certain programs. So we ask people about their veteran status. We ask them whether this is their first time experiencing homelessness or whether they have been homeless before, because that can make them eligible for programs for chronic homeless. We also ask questions about physical health, mental health, substance abuse, and disabilities, as well as whether someone might be fleeing domestic violence and experiencing homelessness as a result of that.
Sure. How do you train your volunteers to be ready for the process, not only to get accurate information, but sort of to deal with, confronting a problem that might surprise them? You know, they're going to hear some stories that are difficult to hear. How do you sort of prepare not only for the data collection side of this, but for the very human connection moment?
Right. I think that's a really important part, the training, and then having those volunteers feel well-equipped to connect people to services as much as they're able to, because we don't just want this to be a data collection effort where we swoop in and helicopter out, but hopefully this is an opportunity to engage people in services if they're eligible as well. So that's part of the training. You know, a lot of the volunteers are social workers, or they are people who do homeless outreach already as part of their day-to-day job. So they are familiar with this type of work and with these types of conversations. But we also have volunteers who are doing this as maybe a once-a-year volunteer activity. And so for them, we bring them together with some of these more experienced social workers, and we talk through, how do you preserve someone's dignity? How do you have this conversation with someone who really just wants to eat their breakfast and get on with their day? And how do you do that in a respectful way, at the same time understanding that it's really important that we get this information?
Right. All right. So once you get the information, how is it processed and how is it used?
The information we are collecting using an app. So volunteers have an app on their phone or on a tablet. The information is entered and collected at the state level, so it all automatically feeds into that state summary. It is delivered then to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, and really it's delivered at that summary level. So although we are talking to individuals, we are not reporting detailed individual information. We are reporting summary numbers for the state and communities about the number of people experiencing homelessness on this one night and the size of the different subpopulations.
All right. So what do you already know about the population in Sioux Falls in your city based on previous data? And how will that change or evolve with current data? What are some of the things, the markers that you're looking for?
Sure. So we know in the past, over the past couple of years, statewide, we've counted between 900 or 1,000 people who were homeless on a single night. And of those, about a third have been counted in Sioux Falls. So we know that statewide, a significant number of people will be in Sioux Falls. We know that of people experiencing homelessness, most are adults, but we do have a number of children we have in the past, and I would expect that to continue. We'll be watching to see sort of what happens with the number of veterans who are experiencing homelessness and how those numbers trend over the years. And this information is really important for people who work in this area to understand how their efforts are affecting the community and how they can better design programs or which populations they maybe need to up their outreach to help Sure. serve them.
All right. So tell me a little bit about what happens once all that information is, how long does it take to get that information back and put into some kind of useful form?
Sure. So it takes a little while to process the information. Once it's all centralized, there'll be some examination. We'll kind of look through it at how complete the data is, what's missing, try to deduplicate and do a little quality control. And then typically final numbers are released in a couple months. So I would expect those probably in March or April.
All right. And that depends on funding levels. What from a practical standpoint, from a financial or budget standpoint, is the impact of getting a good count in your city?
Right. So any community that receives federal funding for homeless programs through the McKinney-Vento programs is required to do this count at least twice a year. And it is only one of several factors that are used to calculate funding levels. So it's kind of a complex process. But this is one piece of it, and it's an important piece.
Does the weather matter? Do you get a different count if it's, a terrible January day than if it's a lovely January day?
I think the sense is that weather matters, but it's not entirely clear how. Here in the north, we tend to count more people who are in shelter than who are unsheltered. And in warmer places, they tend to find more people who are homeless and unsheltered. Today is warmer than the past couple of Januaries, so we'll have to see how that plays out.
Right, because intuitively you would think a very cold, uncomfortable day would help the count because more people would be seeking services on that day versus on a lovely day where the need might be less acute.
That's right.
It might be a day to not seek services, but I don't know if that's played out in the data at all. It just seems to make sense.
It does, yes. And we'll have to see. It's the last couple of years at least have been quite cold.
Right. So, what are you learning from the information that you gather about chronic homelessness? How many of these do you have a sense that if somebody was in the count last year, that somehow they are not in that count? Because what I'm getting at here is there a way to sort of see not only who is out there and why, but what works in making sure somebody finds the shelter that they need and connects with the services to make a better life? What do you know about that?
Right. That's a really important question. This count is not particularly good at knowing whether someone was in the count last year. We do ask about chronic homelessness. We ask how many months someone has been homeless or how many times they've experienced homelessness over the past several years. But we don't gather the information we would need to match individuals up from year to year. Now, what does happen in the state is that programs that serve the homeless, not all programs, but many of them participate in a homeless management information system. And that is essentially a way that they can see over time what happens to an individual or a family and whether having been served by one program, that family is able to sort of achieve stability and move on and does not reappear at another program 6 months, 12 months, 24 months down the road.
Right. So I just think it's fascinating that your job is, you know, all about that individual, you know, that data, but there's these, you know, really huge human stories behind it as well.
Yes, absolutely. There's so many important stories behind the numbers.
Yeah. Suzanne Smith is Augustana University's Vice President for Data Analytics and Augustana Research Institute, and she joined us today to talk about the 2020 nationwide homeless count and its impact on one city, the city of Sioux Falls. Thank you so much, Suzanne, for being here.
Thank you for having me.